Hello, assalamualaikum. Welcome to Eyes on Southeast Asia, the premier podcast on foreign policy, security and economic issues in Southeast Asia, brought to you by the foreign policy community of Indonesia. Today in this episode, we are going to have a discussion on AUKUS with Dr. Rizal Sukma. He's a senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, CSIS Jakarta. Dr. Rizal was the first Indonesian to ever receive the Nakasone Award, and he was among the 100 top global thinkers in 2009, according to Foreign Policy magazine. He is definitely a foreign policy expert of Indonesia, of international standing, and I had the privilege of going to the same university together at London School of Economics and Political Science. We did our PhD there, and we did it under the tutelage of Professor Michael Liefer as well. But Dr. Rizal has become the Indonesian ambassador to the UK, Ireland, and International Maritime Organization from 2016 to 2020. So he's got both feet in think tank circles and also in policy circles, right? And his contribution to in the field of international relations and Indonesian foreign policy is undebatable. He contributed to President Joko Widodo's vision, including the global maritime fulcrum, and he's also one of the thinkers behind the ASEAN Security Community, which later became the ASEAN Political Security Community, where he played a great role in conceiving it. Yeah. Dr. Rizal, welcome to Eyes on Southeast Asia.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're looking good. Yeah, and thank you for being here today. And I'm glad to see some white hair on you. You got more white hair than me.
Yeah, after 4.5 years in London.
Yes. So I would imagine you would get less hair because it's such a less white hair because it's such a great post, right? So talking about London, there has been a lot in the news about AUKUS lately. The Australia, UK, US military or defense arrangement that has become in everybody's lips in recent days. Yeah. Were you surprised by it?
Well, I'm not really surprised by it, you know, because unless, you know, you too obsessed with the normative international relations, you know, you would have noticed, you know, that, you know, in the current power politics dynamics. So I think alliance enhancement or alliance building, you know, I think will be part of that dynamic. And here, you know, we already observe, you know, the growing rivalry between the US and China. And then in my view, this AUKUS is only an extension or the continuation of that, you know, rivalry. So from a realist, you know, perspective, I think, you know, we can expect that, you know, the two great powers would, you know, begin to position themselves, you know, in order to create, you know, a certain primacy, you know, in their relationship. So I'm not really surprised, you know, if you look at the logic, you know, of the our power politics.
Okay. The Indonesian Foreign Ministry has issued a 5-point statement in response to the AUKUS, among others saying this is something that we should look at with some caution, and then reminding the spirit of treaty of amity and cooperation and so on. What is your thought on the Indonesian government's response?
Well, I think, you know, we are in a kind of difficult, you know, position, because going beyond the statement is also difficult, because I don't see how, you know, we can try to shape the dynamics, you know, of this rivalry between the two great powers. But on the other hand, you know, I think, you know, we can try to find a bit, you know, more realist kind of approach to the issue. So we need to go beyond our expectation that the US and China will not compete, you know, and so on. So we actually should, for example, you know, try to come up with the alternative on how that Indonesia, probably together with ASEAN, can try to moderate this growing rivalry between the two countries. And I also noticed that there is a lot of concern in the statement and also hope. And in my view, this concern probably need to be unpacked. Say for example, one of the concerns that our foreign ministry has mentioned is that this AUKUS will lead to the arm race. But in my view, some sort of arm race is already taking place. Because if you look at these two great powers, so on the one hand, the US probably has come to the conclusion that the China's rapid military rise is no longer good for the regions, and also will also upset the balance of power. So that's why the US begin to take the initiative in order to actually sustain the military preponderance of the US and also sustain the US primacy not only at the global level but also at the regional level. Number two, the other concern that Indonesia has expressed, whether this AUKUS agreement or arrangement will have an impact on the NPT. But I think this is also a need to be unpacked, the extent to which the NPT will be undermined by this technology sharing agreement between the US, UK, and Australia. The third point in our position is that we be worried that this is going to undermine the Southeast Asia nuclear weapons free zone. But in my view, the zone fest, as we call it here in the region, has never been, I think, a reality, because the great powers, the nuclear powers, will continue to resist and refuse to actually sign the protocols.
Yeah, on the NPT, my understanding is that all the leaders who announced the AUKUS have stressed that they will do it in a way that will not violate the NPT, the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Yeah. So what is your response on that?
Well, of course, I think especially Australia, they has guaranteed that they are not going to acquire nuclear weapons. But of course, I think on the other hand, it is also justifiable, if there are those, who are worried that the nuclear-powered submarine, can also, become a nuclear weapon submarine, because if you look at the history of or evolution of capability of the US, the UK submarine, it took them only a few years before the SSN became the SSBN. So, within that context, I think more explanation and also more dialogue and discussion is really needed between especially Australia with the regional countries, including those countries who already have expressed concerns, such as Indonesia and Malaysia.
Yeah, the announcement of AUKUS was mentioned also in the context of Indo-Pacific, right? What do you think is the impact of AUKUS on Indo-Pacific and on the debate regarding Indo-Pacific? As the Chinese and the Russians don't like the term Indo-Pacific. They like the old term Asia-Pacific and so on. And they believe this is something to isolate or contain China, But how do you think AUKUS will be perceived in terms of Indo-Pacific debate here?
Well, Indo-Pacific has always been about the strategic space of engagement. It's always about the emerging geopolitical unit and a new one at that. It's actually an understanding of the way we look at the space where countries will conduct their strategic policies, and also where the international politics of the 21st century will be taking place. So it really reflects that reality. In my view, the Indo-Pacific is not just the geographical expression, but it's also the strategic expression of a space of engagement within. We can use the Indonesian word for that, the mandala. It's also the Indian word. This is where countries actually interact strategically. The announcement of AUKUS it actually reinforced the notion that this new emerging geopolitical unit, the Indo-Pacific, which combined the two oceans, you know, the Indian Ocean and the Pacific Ocean, is about geopolitics. It's about security. So I think we need to bring, you know, the other elements back, you know, into this discourse on the Indo-Pacific as a space of engagement of countries, you know, in the region, especially on the economic one. So unfortunately, the AUKUS will continue to reinforce the view that the Indo-Pacific is only the place where, you know, is suitable for all the countries to talk only about the security and also geostrategic challenges and issues. So that, I think, one impact that, you know, I can see on how the AUKUS will shape and define the discourse and the discussion about the Indo-Pacific at the moment and also probably for the next, you know, few years. But here, you know, I think countries like Indonesia and also other ASEAN countries, you know, can, you know, of course, try to bring in the other dimension of the Indo-Pacific as the unit for the space of engagement of all the countries in the region. So it should not be allowed, you know, to only capture or include the security and geopolitical discussion.
Yeah, well, if we will read the Indonesian Foreign Ministry statement, I think implicit in their statement is the concern that AUKUS would lead to heightened strategic rivalries and competition in the Indo-Pacific. Yeah. How valid is that concern?
Well, the rivalry is already there. You know, so it's an emerging. If I may quote the statement by Ambassador Hafaz, you know, in Germany, our ambassador to Germany, you know, the writing is on the wall. You know, so I think that is very clear. So rivalry is there.
What did Hafaz say?
He said the writing is on the wall. You know, so you should be able to see it. You know, that something like AUKUS, you know, might, you know, occur, and then it did occur, and then that's actually, as I mentioned in my article in the Jakarta Post, my argument is that this is a logical consequences of, you know, power politics, you know, of the U.S.-China rivalry. So within, you know, within that context, you know, I think the rivalry is already taking place. And then, you know, in fact, since, you know, say 10 years ago, we should, you know, focus our attention on how that, you know, we should position ourselves within that emerging strategic rivalry between the two powers. And then, you know, what are the other things that we can do in order to moderate, you know, that rivalry. So I'm surprised that a lot of people are surprised.
Okay. But, you know, ASEAN also is surprised, was caught by surprise. How do you think ASEAN should respond to AUKUS? Yeah.
Well, you know, I think it's going to be futile, you know, for anybody, you know, who try to have a common single ASEAN view, you know, with regard, you know, to this. Now, for a number of reasons. Number one, you know, I think since 1967, ASEAN member states have been, you know, I think, characterized by differences with regard to the threat perception. And then that's still true until today, you know, so we don't have a common threat perception. And this is the key, you know, for any unified or common response to any strategic development. So as ASEAN doesn't have that common, you know, threat perception, then of course, you know, it would be futile to try to find a common response to AUKUS. That's number one. Number two, our strategic orientation, you know, member state strategic orientation also differ from one member to the other. You know, Indonesia has been very strong when it comes to so-called non-aligned position, but unfortunately now we tend to equate the Bebas Aktif, the free and independent, as if it is neutral, which is actually not, but that's, you know, different, I think, topic for a discussion. But so in my view, ASEAN should just move, you know, beyond this debate whether the AUKUS is good or bad, you know, for the region, but it should come back and focus on number one, how to, you know, make sure that it continues to be relevant. And because ASEAN relevance will depend on the ability, again, you know, to enforce what a lot of people call the ASEAN diplomatic centrality. And that means ASEAN should focus again on, you know, finding or reforming or even forming institution or structures in the region that can actually serve as a platform, you know, for great powers, you know, to actually try to reconcile the differences if they have, and also try to cooperate, you know, on certain issues. ASEAN can do that because it does have, you know, political capital already, you know, to do that.
Yeah, but don't you think it's a bit ironic, though, Pak Rizal, because ASEAN is always insisting on ASEAN centrality. And meanwhile, you have AUKUS who talks about the Indo-Pacific. And for ASEAN not to have an opinion, an outlook or perspective on AUKUS, wouldn't that be a bit ironic? Yeah.
Yes, of course, it's an irony because, but, you know, it also reflects, I think, ASEAN has not done what they promised to do. You know, for example, you know, ASEAN always say it wants to be in the as the primary driving seat, and then, you know, try to manage, you know, this so-called regional order, you know, in the Asia Pacific in the past, but probably now, you know, in the Indo-Pacific. But, you know, for the last, I would say, 10 years, ASEAN has not really actually, doing that, you know, because, you know, we in ASEAN believe that norm shaping and norm sharing is enough, you know, to actually regulate the behavior of, you know, extra regional powers. But one thing that ASEAN member states forget, that this dynamic, you know, that regulate the major powers interaction is called the power politics. So power politics is coming back. And then, you know, that's on the one hand. On the other hand, ASEAN still thinks that normative, you know, response still enough, you know, to deal with this return of power politics. You and I really understand because, you know, we went to the same school, that, you know, as a geopolitics or real, you know, power politics cannot be, or is not enough to address those challenges only from normative, you know, approach. We need also to combine it with, you know, realist approach. So ASEAN in the past is very good, you know, in combining realism on the one hand, or power, and with norms and institution. So now is the time for ASEAN to try to combine both, you know, power and norms and institution, and to provide a platform, you know, to regulate and moderate the rivalry, which is, you know, in my view, is also, you know, the fact in the region, that you can't actually force the two great powers to cooperate, you know, because, you know, we're not in a position to shape the dynamic of this interaction between ASEAN and China. But I do believe if ASEAN sit and then try to think about the new arrangement where, you know, it can continue, you know, to demonstrate that it is in the primary driving seat, then, you know, we might have a chance, you know, to prevent a worse conflict, you know, between these two superpowers.
Yeah, the strongest response to AUKUS has come from China. Do you think China's strong response is justifiable?
Well, I would say it's understandable, you know, because the U.S. is the only power that can undermine, you know, and frustrate China's strategic ambition, whatever that might be. Yeah. So, and U.S. is the only power that can also undermine the rise of China. And while on the other hand, we know that China really wants to reclaim, you know, its rightful, you know, place, you know, within this emerging new global order. So, you know, in that context, of course, the AUKUS will be seen as an attempt by the U.S., you know, to actually frustrate, you know, that rapid rise, you know, China to become, you know, another superpower. So we, you know, in that context, I would say it's, you know, understandable why China reacted very strongly, you know, and especially, you know, opposing the formation of AUKUS, you know, because it's going to also say within like, you know, 20 years, you know, it's going to affect how balance of power in this region, actually the shape of the balance of power in this region.
So you don't believe any AUKUS officials who say this is not about China?
It is about China for sure. You know, I mean, a policy pronouncement, you can say whatever you want. You can say that, you know, it is not going to affect, you know, the, it's only the cooperation to make the submarine. But, you know, why do you need submarine, you know, if you don't believe that, you know, it's going to serve a certain strategic objective, you know. So the AUKUS is basically, you know, reflects the a policy in the, you know, especially in the U.S., for two things. Number one, you know, I think the U.S. has come to the conclusion that they need, you know, to stepping up their attempt to preserve the primacy, you know, in international politics. That's the first objective. The second objective, you know, I think in the Indo-Pacific, you know, the U.S. also doing what they call the offshore balancing, you know, because they also have a lot of allies, you know. Australia is American allies, so it's nothing new, you know, in the military cooperation between the U.S. and Australia. But this is also part of this offshore balancing, you know. So now, when the U.S. need to preserve its primacy at the global level because of the rapid rise of China, then, you know, it's doing it, you know, through this offshore balancing by stepping up the capacity and capability of Australia as one of the U.S. Allies. So this complementary also with what the U.S. has done, you know, the Quad, for example, you know, so this is a diplomatic and, you know, a strategic part, you know, of the U.S. attempt to preserve its primacy, which is also, again, normal. You know, if one country has become powerful, you know, in the global politics, they might want to preserve it. So the key questions for us in this region, how, you know, this attempt by China to become a major powers, a great powers, and the U.S. attempt, you know, to preserve its primacy will not, you know, be detrimental to other countries', you know, interests. So that's the key question that, you know, we need to ask ourselves and then try to find the response, you know, to that challenge.
Oh, thank you very much. You know, this is a conversation that I wish I could have for 3 hours because I love hearing your deep insights, Dr. Rizal. Unfortunately, we have to close. And I want to thank you for talking to FPCI. And I look forward to more engaging discussions with you, Dr. Rizal. Thank you very much. This is your host, Dino Patijalal, and I hope you enjoy and learn a lot from our episode. Don't forget to share and subscribe Eyes on Southeast Asia on your favorite streaming platform. Follow FPCI social media for more information about our activities, upcoming events, and programs. See you there.